because cicadas came out there at one spot. When was that? That's a result of the grape juice that I have on the strings right now. I was eating grapes back there, you know. Shouldn't do that. If you do, you should do it with your right. Actually, you should do it with your mouth, but you should grab it with your right hand. Being one of them that when I recorded just didn't work. They really kind of laid there, stank, and took up room. And you know, it's kind of desperate when that happens because you know, you have a budget and the label wants it by such and such a date, and they don't like what they've heard so far, and you know. Now you agree with them, and there's no other material you can do, so you have to make it work. And I've decided, I know what I'll do. So I called Annie Lou Harris, and I said, "That's this great tune. It, you know, I'm really happy with it, but it could, you know, I don't know. I thought you might like to sing on it." She saw through that in about 2 seconds. But very graciously came out and, you know, put a two-part harmony on this tune and the other one. And it did. It changed everything. Or it did. It changed everything. Wonderful. When she was done, and she, you know, moved back in the control room with some playback, and I said, how did you do that? I mean, it's really different now. And she said, well, I did that Everly Brothers thing. And I said, oh, well, of course. So she said, you know, where they would, the parts stay the same, but they trade them at odd times in the middle of these, in these tunes of theirs. I nodded my head knowingly, and went, after this, I went out and listened to every Everly Brothers thing I could find. I don't hear them doing that. But you know, how would you, right? Of course that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And like Charles Ives said, what sound got to do with music anyhow? I think we're listening with parts other than our ears, and oftentimes, and you know, maybe this isn't a good thing, we're performing with parts other than our hands or our voices. Communicating, you know, pancreas to pancreas. And then she said, plus, you know, and she said, and when you go flat, I go with you, just not as far. I climbed the hill to Julie's house, the place I used to live. I climbed the steps and tried the door and let myself in. The kitchen clock I used to watch, yeah, stopped at 5 to 5. A photograph I'd never seen. A car came up the drive. I outside the kitchen door, and when she turned her head, I said that I was back to stay. She laughed at what I said. Said that I'd grow old, believing that I was what mattered most. That I'd uncover real feelings when I got close. Close. I climbed a hill to Jubilee's house, the place I used to live. I climbed the cells and tried the door and let myself in. Forget, it's a record called Time Step that I did. It was the last record I did for Chrysalis. We were in a studio called Magnolia Sound. We were done with the record and mixing it when I discovered coffee. And, you know, I had given up drugs long before that. But I was tired and I thought, well, people use this to perk up. I understand. So the first coffee, in effect, that I ever had was studio coffee, which is, you know, it's 12 years old if it's a day. And I had a cup of it, and I remember saying to T-Bone, well, this is good. This is. So I had another cup, and it was after during the sixth cup that the kick drum just started sounding horrible. It was in my head, it wasn't in front of my face. Everything was too harsh. I left and went home. Back to the Beverly Garland Howard Johnson. I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. I grew up in a house on Saginaw Bay. My dad was a poor, hard-working Saginaw fisherman. Too many times he brought home too little pay. I loved a girl in Saginaw, Michigan. Daughter of a wealthy, wealthy man. But he called me that son of a Saginaw fisherman. Not good enough to claim his daughter's hand. Now I'm up here in Alaska, looking around for gold. Like a crazy fool, I'm digging in this frozen ground so cold. With each new day I pray I strike in the chant and go back home and claim my love in Saginaw, Michigan. It's like an old machine. Said, honey, I'm coming home. Please wait for me. And you can tell your dad I'm coming home a richer man. I hit the biggest strike in Klondike history. Her dad met me. It's like an old machine. Gave me a great big party with champagne. And he said, son, you're a wise, young, ambitious man. Won't you sell your father-in-law your Klondike claim? Now he's up there in Alaska, looking around for gold. The crazy fool is looking for the gold I never found. Search him right and no one here is missing him. Least of all, the newlywed from Saginaw, Michigan. We're the happiest man and wife in Saginaw, Michigan. He's ashamed to show his face in Saginaw, Michigan. Said 5 degree down bubble, and I said 5 degree down bubble high, which is the way you say it. You can't say okay. They just don't allow that. And but I'd never been on the stern planes. I'd never run them. I'd never turned the stern plane, and it controls the angle of the boat. The bow planes control the rate of descent. So the stern planes are really important. You can have a massive rate and not much stern plane, and you just casually, you know, descend. You can have no rate at all and a lot of stern plane, and you just go like that. And this was the second oldest submarine in the Navy. It was scrapped in 1972. And so I thought, well, and you know, you can't say, you know, I've never done this before. That really, you know, you don't speak, you know, you can't do that. So I thought, well, they must know something I don't. It's just never, you know, the right thing to be doing with a submarine. And so I yanked the thing, the hydraulic. There's a little delay. And you have, this is how they worked. You had a carpenter's level to determine your angles. Doesn't that surprise you? You know, this is. So I turned the thing and the bubble moves, and I reported, I said, our down bubble, I said, I can't remember exactly, but I said, 20 degree down bubble, sir. And it didn't have to be said. You can't stand up at a 15 degree lean. It got bad then. Things got really bad. My uncle, who fought through the Japanese islands, through the island war, and came convinced Japanese used to talk like this, and I thought, when are you going to shut up? I don't know. Great, you know, but I've had enough. And if anybody cared, I could tell you how we got out of that. But I won't bother. Trying to find another slot because I left mine somewhere, and it's one that I designed. It came to me in a dream. I don't know, but it seemed to make sense to me. And you can actually involve some design in a tube. It can be straight. It can have a curve, or on my slide, it can have no radius at all until it reaches a little less than midway, and then it flares without a curve. It just flares, works great. And you put the large end toward your hand, so it stays on there, and it covers, when you're covering the whole neck, the treble strings, and works great. But everybody that uses it is doing it backwards. It works better that way. So I just, you know, that was the end of design for the It actually worked, but without my input. But I found this thing today at the folk store, and I have not seen this. It must be somewhere, but I quit. I started using brass years ago because I lost this kind of glass. I could never find this. Well, maybe I should tell you how we got out of that submarine problem. First time with Paul Lagos, jazz drummer that I should have kept working with. He was just something. This is called Gewerbe Gebiet out of my antecedents are German, and I would hang around my grandparents' place. When that was possible, we were about five states apart, actually, and hide so that I could hear them speaking German. They wouldn't use their native tongue in front of anybody. I just thought it was fantastic. You know, as I keep saying, the Germans have done for the consonant what Hawaiians have done for the vowel. You can really, really get off on it. And I've studied the language. I attempted college for a while. It didn't last, but I spent a year and a half studying German. I didn't learn a thing. Nothing. It just won't stick. I play in Germany a lot. After I've been there for a month, I begin to think, I get it. And I'll say something. They get hostile. You know, there are no comedians in Germany. So I decided that I would just give up, and I would just learn a couple of the best words. You know, there was a contest there held by Die Zeitung or one of the big newspapers with asking people to submit the most, their idea, the most beautiful word in the German language. And the word that won was, it doesn't sound German at all. It sounds French, actually. It's loaded with vowels and, you know, they're just wrong. They picked the wrong word. They should go with what they know, and they should listen, above all, to me. The most beautiful word in the German language, and it's the title of this next tune, is Gewerbe Gebiet. Doesn't that just make your heart go pitter-patter? It actually does me. Gewerbe Gebiet. Gewerbe Gebiet. Oh, I just, I have something in my phone. Somebody sent me a long play on words involving Gewerbe Gebiet. Just realized what, no, never mind. What am I doing? I always, you know, Britney Spears wouldn't do this. I always looked to her as, you know, sort of, you know, the of the show business. I shouldn't get too far away from that. We do have a lot in common. But it's in German, that's the thing, this play on words, and it's actually hilarious. I don't know what they're telling me, but there's more Gebiets and Gewerbiges in it than you could shake it. Stick at it. So, oh, I hurt myself. Thank you. For this last night, so I guess I'll play it tonight. I'm the guy who did. Oh, damn. Not up there. Oh. I'm going to shorten this one. Thank you. fool she was. Everything it takes to get a guy like me in love. Lord, I hope she's happy, cause she sure deserves to be, especially for what she did for me. And I guess I'll get it all about the ground. All my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all out of the ground. Yes, I owe it all to family ground. Tuners don't really know much about relative pitch. They think you're a flute or a guitar. A valve trombone. Now, I mentioned a book last night called Dreamcatcher, but it's a memoir of life with father written by a daughter. J.D. Salinger, and it's a horrible book. She's angry. And it's a kind of, she's angry. You know that if you said, "Boy, are you angry?" she'd say, "I am not." It's just there's something. Now, you know, I may be all alone in this. I may have some special wound that responds to her brand of invective. Or her brand of affection, and it sounds like invective to me. But next time I see Mr. Salinger, I'll ask him what he thinks. I've got a chance of that. He's a big guy for me. For Esme with Love and Squalor is one of my favorite stories. And all of his stuff has got something, at least something, memorable. And along with On the Road when I was a kid, The Catcher in the Rye was just, oh, this is me, this is me, until he kills himself or whatever. No, he just goes off to a nut house. Talking to our engineer tonight, Marshall, about Joe Pass, who had been imprisoned because he was an addict in the 50s in Fort Worth, and attached to the hospital was a mental, the prison, attached to it was a mental hospital. What does that tell you? Part of his deal was that he would be let out to go over to the other side, to the mental hospital, to play in the day room for the people who were hanging out in the day room. And he said there was one guy there who was catatonic. And I didn't know this, but catatonics can move. Frequently, you don't want to be there when they move. I learned that too. A friend of mine, my wife grew up with, psychologist, said, "I'll take a room full of paranoid schizophrenics over one catatonic." Anyway. So he'd go in there, Joe would go in there and play, and he said, and the guy would be a fixture over the corner. is still. And every week, he'd play there once a week, he'd be into some Joe and Mike, that version of him. And the guy would sneak up behind him, start moving, sneak up behind him while he's playing. It's perfect. It's just perfect. It's one of the things that holds up the world. You know? There aren't many of those, and we need every one we can get. But in this book, that and sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's fun to. I mean, there were a lot of things that she liked about Dad, and it worked for her. And a lot of it I liked. You're plowing through this and trying to ignore the stuff that, you know, makes you want to go knock on her door. And she includes as a chapter heading a verse from this next poem written by Christina Rossetti. And like me, she wisely does not include the entire poem. The first verse is spectrally fun, but the rest of it is just juvenile. It's not juvenile. It's just bad. It's just bad. As hard as iron, water turned to stone. Snow is falling, snow on snow. In the deep midwinter, long, long ago. This is written by one of my all-time favorite instrumentalists, Pete Seeger. He has a right hand that just always mystifies me. Great rhythm stuff. Amazing harmony over in the left hand for a guy who's just out to, you know, clean up the Hudson and have a revolution. What a guy. Thank you. something here just because I'm curious. Oh, no, never mind. I can't be curious, can I? I got it. No, I know. Sorry.
I'm curious, but...
get hung up on a sound. Da 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 da. No, da da. Years. I'm serious. Called How My Heart Sings, written by a classical pianist named Pettinger. So it's interesting, you know, musically, this book. And at one point, there he's going through a couple records that Bill recorded with Toots Thielemans, the chromatic harmonica player, great jazz voice, and mentioned a tune that they did that Toots had designed that moved between F and A, and I thought, hell, I can do that. It's so. I suspect it doesn't sound like what they did. Thank you. guitar, which kind of found me. I was never interested in the guitar. And I was interested in strings, and I thread the violin, and then I played the trombone for 12 years. And, I tried out for the flute, actually, at Cheyenne, and the guy told me my mouth was too big and gave me a trombone. And I played it for 12 years. What does that say about me, you know? But I know that back then that and still, they'll see a crappy movie, and there'll be a scene in front of a house with a porch, and there'll be some clown, often off camera, but sometimes over there in the corner, playing a really suspicious looking guitar, and doing, you know, actually, you'll hear more of this. And it knocked me out. It was just this baloney that they would play. You know, the guy's getting scaled to sit on a bad movie set and play something. Well, something is supposed to happen, and I love that kind of music. And and I'd like to play something for you now. In other words, this is a low expectation kind of tune. Hexaphonic pickup. Each string has its own little empire, and they're made of brass, like the arch on a bridge. twangy. So when you tune this thing, they bounce around for a while. I'm going to start sneaking toward the end of the set, and I want to mention that. Well, first of all, I met Bob Dylan when he was playing, recording "Blood on the Tracks." It's in Minneapolis where I lived, and I of course was hanging around the studio just on the off chance, you know. I need any guitar on this record, or that kind of thing. and he showed up one day, and we talked for about an hour and a half, but I didn't know it was him. I never even suspected it was him. And 10 years later, the local paper did a piece on that record and interviewed everybody that had been involved in the recording. And they mentioned, the paper called me up and said, "What did you and Bob talk about?" I said, "Bob who?" And they said, "I've never met him." I said, "Well, you know, Dean Odegaard and Billy Peterson saw you, and Bob talking for about an hour and a half, you're really getting into it." And I thought, "You mean that guy?" And then I remember this guy walked up. He's a genius at being invisible. He walked up and he said, "So what do you think of this project?" That's what he said. And I said, "Well," and that's what the next hour and a half was. Boy, I mean, I wouldn't have said some of the things I said, you know. As in, everything up through Blonde on Blonde, pure genius, I can't hear it enough. After that, what happened? I don't remember. But in interviews, he mentioned that growing up in Hibbing, the only thing you could hear on the radio was, "How much is that doggy in the window?" And I thought, I dug that tune. I was much younger than him when it was a hit, but it was, and I still am. But it was all right. I mean, I can ignore stuff, you know, like the whole lyric, for example, and get off on Patty Page's voice. She was really a real character, you know, definite. It's only her. You know, so this is another Patty Page hit, and then it'll move to a Duane Allman. Thank you. Well, every now and then, one of this thing will happen in this job where I will meet somebody that nailed, you know, the some direction that I wound up being shoved in, and musically, you know, and it's incredible when this happens. I was in early on in the studio making my first record for Capitol. My producer at the time came out of the control room after about two takes with a kind of Darvon sweat on his upper lip. And I'm not kidding. This is true. He grabbed me by the shoulders and said, "Leo, this is the big time." I knew I was in trouble. You know, I just, it was too late, though. And we had some tracks that I really liked. That was the record that Paul Lagos is on. And there's an audition, bunch of audition stuff we did for RCA. But, boy, I wish I could get that back. And Danny just kept panicking more and more as this went on. And it was mainly my voice. That was what really scared me. And he walked out of the control room to just go out in the lobby and quiver. And he saw a guy walk by on the street, and he literally jumped out of the building, grabbed him, pulled him into the studio, put up one of the tracks we'd just done, and he said, "Put a vocal on this." And I'm sitting there, you know, I said, "Danny, can I talk to you? Who is this guy? And why do you want to put him on it? This track is nice. I like this track. You need something." "Okay." And I said, "Well, no, I don't think so." He said, "No, you do. Who? You'll like it. Why will I like it? Who is this guy?" And he said, "It's Kim Fowley." And I said, "That doesn't tell me anything. Who the hell is Kim Fowley?" And he said, "Well, he wrote Alley-Oop. He was the lead singer in the Hollywood Argyles. Alley-Oop." I said, "Put him on." And it's pretty awful what he did, but it's Kim Fowley from the Hollywood Argyles. Invented the word dinosawa. And he has had a lot of hits. Danny ran into him a few years later at the Roxy. He's wearing a t-shirt with all his hits on it. He read his t-shirt and he said, "I don't see Leo on there." And he said, "Oh, he's on my folk rock t-shirt." One more thing before I go. Stereo had not yet been invented for the sound systems in concert. Tycho Brahe was the first company that had this. Neil Young brought them out to his farm in Northern California. Spread the system left and right, over by the house, over by the barn. And he went out in the lake, he has a little lake there, in a rowboat, to hear stereo in the open air for the first time. And after a while, they're playing something, and after a while, I see him waving his hand. What? And he said, "More barn." Sliding things we can't recall. Cause it don't matter now at all. Just come on in, baby, we'll laugh and sing. We'll make love, let the telephone ring. Ring, ring, doorbell ring, baby, come on in. I got Mel Blanc on the radio. And I'm glad you came around. I've been feeling down, talking to Tony and Mario. You know they make good conversation. Still it ain't no consolation. Cause I got love, baby, I'll give you some. Somebody come, let the doorbell ring. Thank you.
feels like I'm in Tucson. Somebody will steal my guitar if I leave it out here.
Delay. I get dots when that happens. And then these dots get really confused. Excuse me. This is a. I don't know. This has this for me. Well, sorry.
Where you been so long?